Interesting passage tonight where Paul is talking about his own personal testimony. He's talking about how when God calls us to do something, he also enables us to do it. This is very important for us to understand as Christians, that God wants us all to serve him. And we all know that there's many Christians who think that just sitting in a chair at church is serving the Lord. It's not. Or studying your Bible or watching YouTube is serving the Lord. It's not. Serving the Lord is when you put your gifts to use and minister to others. That's serving the Lord. And God wants that from every believer. And when we set out to do that, he will enable us to do what he's calling us to do. That's what's so exciting. So verse 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So, enabled me, that'll be our title tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. It is so beautiful, so powerful, and pray that now you would use it to teach us and change us and remind us that, Lord, as your children, you want us to serve. So have your will and way now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see God's side and man's side there in verse 12, don't we? God does the enabling, and then God expects us to be faithful. Faithfulness is not something that God forces upon us. Faithfulness is our decision. But God does enable us when he calls us. And we'll look at that tonight. It is God that gave us the power to witness when we got saved. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. So even as early as when the church began there in Acts chapter 1 and 2, God said, I will give you, I will enable you to do what I'm calling you to do, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to enable you with my own presence and my own power. It is God. Philippians 2:13, if you'd like to turn there quickly. And let's always remember this. It's God that enables those that he calls. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Notice it says he works in us not only to will it, but to do it. Isn't that good? It's God that does this. So when we quote verses like, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13, it's true. We can. We can do all things, but it's through Christ. He's the one that enables. He's the one that gives us the power. 2 Corinthians 3:5, if you want to turn there, Paul explains that all of our sufficiency to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish comes from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5, look what he says. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul says, we don't ever get to that point where we think we have the sufficiency to get done what God wants us to do. All of our sufficiency comes from God. And yet, isn't that one of our weaknesses as wicked sinners, is to believe that we are self-sufficient? And we aren't as Christians. Our sufficiency is of God. So that's God's side. God does the enabling. But God, what does he want from us in return? There in 1 Timothy 1:12, he counted me faithful. In other words, he knew in advance Paul would be faithful, and Paul was. Paul got to the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4:7, and said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I never quit. I just kept going. God's about to take me home. I stayed the course. Amen? He counted me faithful. You know, one of the things, if you go to Numbers chapter 12, back when God was talking about Moses, here in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7, this is when Miriam and Aaron challenged Moses' leadership. This happened a lot to Moses. Korah did the same thing. We know what happened to him and his followers. They ended up in the earth or killed with fire. But here Miriam and Aaron challenged his leadership. And look what God said in verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. This is God speaking to Miriam and Aaron, who are challenging him. He says, Moses is faithful. And that's why I called him, because I knew he would be faithful. That's why I called him to lead Israel out of Egypt. That's why I called him to be the pastor, if you will, of the church in the wilderness, because of his faithfulness. And God says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God's side is the enabling, our side is the faithfulness. You might not be able to sing as well as others, preach as well as others, teach as well as others, but no one can be more faithful than you. Think about that. Because faithfulness isn't based on your ability, is it? Faithfulness is based on your determination to obey God and just always be faithful. So he says here in verse 12, he enabled me, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Isn't that good? Paul said, I didn't put myself into the ministry. God put me into the ministry. And if you've been saved a while, we've all met God-called pastors and man-called pastors. And there are some out there, sadly, where they were pushed into it, maybe by their parents or maybe by others saying, you know, God definitely wants you to be a pastor. And then they say, yes, that must be what God wants. But if God doesn't do it, as we'll see later, then it'll never happen. It'll never work because, remember, who does the enabling? And I'm just using that as an example. There are many gifts in the scriptures, but being a pastor is one of them. So if God calls someone to be a pastor, then he's going to enable him to be a pastor, to oversee and to preach and so forth. And every pastor that I've ever met that is serving God and being faithful to God's requirements for a pastor, to feed the flock and to be an overseer to the flock, be an example to the flock, all of them were very hesitant at first when God called them, said, I can't do that. That's not me. And then for most of them, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 and other verses, you know, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it, realized it's not about me. If this is what God wants, then God will enable me. God will make it possible. And that's how it works. That's what Paul's saying. God put me in the ministry. I didn't put myself in the ministry. God did it. And then he enabled me, but he counted me faithful. And then he reminds us, verse 13, that he used to be a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. And he says, but you know what? I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I thought that I was serving God. And he did. He thought he was literally serving the God of the Bible while he was killing Christians, because he was a faithful Jew, a faithful Pharisee. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. And if you look at Galatians 1:13, he talks a bit more about this. Galatians 1:13. Notice he says, "You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." I wasted it. But once God calls us and once God enables us and he says, "This is my ministry for you," whatever it might be, that's it. We don't have any more excuses. The ignorance is gone. Amen. We can't say, "Oh, now I don't know, Lord, what I'm supposed to do." Yes, you do. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God's calling. You can't claim ignorance anymore. And that's what Paul's saying. That was in the past. Now I know who put me in the ministry, and I know who enabled me, and I know who is going to help me finish. And he mentions that in verse 14. God gave me grace to get through. Look what he says. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant." Isn't that good? So part of God's enabling is his pouring out of his grace so that we can accomplish what he calls us to accomplish. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, if you want to turn there, which means we are not going to be able to get to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, I know that's what you wanted me to do, but I just couldn't do it." We won't even try, will we? We won't say anything like that, but we aren't going to be able to have that as our defense. If God called us to do something, then God says, "I will enable you. I'll even give you the grace to accomplish it and to get through whatever comes your way." 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Think about what he's saying there. Of course, we know God giveth more grace. God has infinite grace. And he's saying that there are people that God gives them the grace to do what he calls them to do, but then they don't do it, which just means God gave them the grace in vain. But Paul says, "Not me. I labored more abundantly than they all." In other words, I just kept going. "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Isn't that good? So God is the one that enables. God's the one that calls. God's the one that puts us into ministries and tells us what to do, and then makes it possible and gives us the grace to do it. What's the why of all this? We're going to preach on this again next week. Verse 15, of course. "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That's the why behind the whole thing. And again, we'll talk more about that next week. But you know, Paul never forgot why he was able to do what God called him to do, which is be the greatest church planter that ever lived. Look at verse 15, "of whom I am chief." Paul never forgot. "I'm not a great church planter. I'm not a great missionary because of me. I'm the chief of sinners. I am because God called me, God put me in the ministry, and God enabled me. And then God poured out his grace upon me so that I could get it done." God's getting all the credit. And then he explains, verse 16, "And for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Even if we tried, I doubt we could count how many people in the past 2,000 years have used the Apostle Paul as their inspiration to serve God. Think about that. Someone who never quit. Someone who just kept going, kept going, kept going until God took him home. And so he says, "I'm a pattern of that." But you know what else he was a pattern of? God can use anyone. He chose the biggest persecutor of the church of God alive in that day to be his apostle to the Gentiles. Of all the people he could have chosen, he chose that guy named Saul, who rounded up Christians and put them in prison. As he says, it was a blasphemer, killed Christians. He chose that one. That's a good pattern, isn't it? So nobody can say, well, God can't use me. Just look at Paul. He used Paul. He says, so this is, I'm a pattern now that God can use anyone, and that God's greatest enemy became God's greatest servant. Think about that. And in Ephesians 3:8, he talks about this, if you want to turn there. Again, Paul never lifted himself up, never boasted. Here in 1 Timothy, he calls himself the chief of sinners. Here in Ephesians 3:8, he calls himself the least of all saints. Look what he says, unto me who am less than the least. Now, Paul's not, this isn't fake humility. You know, you always get Christians that have fake humility. That's not what, this is genuine humility. I am the less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given? Why? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It says, I'm a pattern now. People are going to look at me now for the next 2,000 years and say, you know what? If God can use Paul, he can use me. And it's true. If God can use a man like that, who we don't even know how many Christians he imprisoned or killed, if God can use someone like that to become a church planter and a missionary, huh, he can use me. There's a pattern. Amen? And yet, how many Christians don't fulfill the ministry God has called them to? He's given, he's saved them. He's moved in. He's got infinite grace available. He even gave them special gifts from the Holy Spirit, and they're not using them. They're not putting them to use. They just come to church and they sit, like my wife says, like a bump on a pickle, and go home and never serve God. What's holding them back from fulfilling the ministry that God chose for them? I don't know. Is that your dog? Okay. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like the neighbors or something. Is it bitterness, selfishness, worldliness, laziness? We won't know till we get to heaven. It's not our problem. It's between them and God. But don't let the devil hold you back. Amen? He's got a plan for your life. When he saved you, he also planned to use you. That's why he gave you the gifts. He doesn't just hand them out and say, oh, you can just bury it in the sand until you get to heaven, does he? We know what happened to that guy. No, you put them to use. He says, I want usury. I want interest on my investment. Put your gifts to use. I'm enabling you, God says. I'm going to give you the infinite grace, whatever you need. But it's up to you to be faithful. It's up to you to get to work and do what I've called you to do. And so he says, I'm now going to be a pattern to who? To them which should hereafter. To every Christian that was going to be, trust Christ from that time until now, including us, to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Our lives, just like Paul's life, should be an example of God's transforming salvation. Amen? We should be serving God. He's called us to do something. He will enable us if we'll set out to do it. What does he want from our side? Faithfulness. Amen? He wants us to get busy and do it. He'll provide the grace. He gave us the gifts. He will enable us. He'll make it possible. Look at Ephesians 4:1. This is what God wants from us. Here's what Paul said. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. We often talk about people's vocation. You know, you meet someone new, it's one of the first questions you ask, isn't it? What do you do? What's your job? What do you do for a living? Well, we're Christians now, and we have a vocation too. You know what it is? Serving God. Amen? And it's different for each one of us. But God, if we will do the faithful part, God will do the enabling part. God will do the grace part. God will do the providing the gifts part. God will do all that needs to be done. He'll provide the power and everything you need. But he never treats us like robots and says, now here's how you do it. And he grabs us by the arms and forces us to work. Doesn't work that way. We have to decide, I'm going to do it. God's already moved in. He's already given me the Holy Spirit. He's already given me gifts. I'm going to get busy and put them to use. And I, like Paul, I'm going to get to the end of my life. Look at 2 Timothy 4:7. We'll finish there tonight. This should be every one of us's goal. I know that wasn't great English, but this should be the goal for each Christian. 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. That'll be a good verse for Patsy's funeral on Friday, won't it? I never quit. Amen? We should be able to say that when we leave this world and go to the judgment seat. Lord, I knew what you told me to do, and I set out to do it. It wasn't perfect. I made a lot of mistakes, but I never quit. Amen. He enabled me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for teaching us from it tonight. And I pray, Lord, that each of us knows what our ministry is. We know the gifts you've given us. We know the grace is there. The power's there. Help us, Lord, now to set out and be faithful and fulfill the ministry you've called us to fulfill. That we, like Paul, might get to the end of our lives and say, like he said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Thank you for speaking to us in Jesus' name.